As we remain standing, let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, thank you for this opportunity to meet together, to worship you, to hear your word to us too. And Lord, I just pray that as I speak now, you will guard my thoughts, you will guard my tongue, and you will speak through me to this your people here this morning. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Please be seated. I trust you can all hear me, that's the first thing. Yep, okay, good. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose and have come to worship him." Familiar words to us, and indeed the rest of the story is pretty familiar to us as well. And I want us to be thinking about those magi, those wise men. They weren't kings, they were wise men, and the gifts which they bought. And to help, let me just tell you a little story. Rabbi Lionel Blue tells a story against himself in which he was holding a grudge against a former friend. And a birthday, and a bishop, and a gift. And what happened was this. Lionel Blue had been invited to an ecumenical conference for Jews, Muslims and Christians. It was one of these conferences, the aim of which to get people together of different understanding, different faith, so they get to know each other a little bit better and to have a better understanding of one another, which would help in their relationships with each other. And in the course of this conference, he found himself invited to the bishop's birthday party, along with another fellow conference goer, a Muslim. And so there were the two of them standing in this queue, long queue of people who had also been invited and who had been invited before and had come prepared with gifts. You know, the odd second-hand Rembrandt and embroidered coat, you know, the sort of thing. And there, the two of them have got nothing. And so as they're getting nearer and nearer to the bishop, they're feeling more and more uncomfortable about the fact they've got no gift to bring. But the bishop's chaplain spotted the problem and quickly dashed off to where the received presents had been deposited, and heading for a basket of lilies, took two lilies from the basket and returned to Lionel Blue and his fellow Muslim and gave one to each, saying, "This is a Jewish lily and this is a Muslim lily. Give them to the bishop." Well, now they're feeling really bad because now they've got stolen lilies for a present which has already been given to the bishop. And it's not helped because when they get to the bishop and hand their present, their gift over, and the chaplain says to the bishop, "Oh, this is Lionel Blue bringing a Jewish lily for you. And there is Mr. So-and-so who's bringing a Muslim lily to you." And to their horror, the bishop burst into tears. It's a true story. Burst into tears, saying, "I've never had such wonderful presents." Of course, now they're feeling triply bad. With all the guilt that's gone on behind it, the bishop's reaction, being deceiving him, and to make it worse, reporters are summoned and photographs are being taken, and they could see that they would end up in the front line of the papers and being denounced as goodness knows what. Sometime later, preparing to go to another conference, Lionel Blue was thinking about the conference and the theme, trying to get his mind and thoughts in order. But into his mind kept on coming these stolen lilies, and also a grudge which he'd been holding against a friend of his. And he couldn't shake these two things off. And he realised that God was wanting him to tie these two events together and get rid of them by offering the bishop, who had now died, a present, a good deed. And the good deed would be Lionel Blue writing an apology to his friend in memory and in honour of the bishop. And that's what he did. He said it was a struggle, but it was only for the fact that he'd actually promised it to the bishop in his prayers that made him carry on and finish the letter of apology. It was sent off, and the two people, he and his friend, were reconciled. And on talking it through later on, the friend said to Lionel Blue, "Isn't it's kind of weird how God works? Gifts are important. What gift would you bring to a king? The Magi, you remember, brought gifts. And you're going to tell me now what gifts they brought. So, what gifts did the Magi bring? They brought gold. They brought frankincense. And they brought myrrh. Which of those gifts do you think was the most appropriate?" And I don't want any smart aleck saying, "Well, they're all the same." Which of the gifts that the wise men, the Magi, brought to Jesus do you think was the most important? Hand up for gold. Oh, hand up for frankincense. Yeah, we're going to vote for frankincense. And how about myrrh? Oh, most of them want myrrh. How interesting. I'm going to tell you that it was none of those. You see, I think there are two other gifts which they brought. Can you tell me what you think they were? There are two other gifts, I think. Ah, whoa, thank you very much. Really good. Yes. They brought worship. Do you remember their words when they came to Jerusalem? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. You know, and towards the end of the account which Matthew gives, you know, they present their gifts and they worship him. So worship, thank you. There's another gift as well. What's the other gift? Oh, thank you. Brilliant. Themselves. You know, isn't it interesting? You know, these wise men, these scholars, these scientists, these astronomers of their day, they had seen a sign in the heavens, a new constellation, new star. And they knew from their studies and from their learning the relevance of this star. And as scientists of their day, I guess they know not very much different from today. They would have noted it down in their logbook, the date, the time, the position in the sky, because that's the sort of people they were. And they could have left it there. But they didn't, because they knew it wasn't enough just to record the fact that a new king had been born to the Jews. They knew that they had to go and see. You know, and that resonates quite honestly in our own time. A lot of people know about Jesus. Perhaps even recognize him intellectually, as a historical figure, as someone of importance. But leave it there. They don't go any further. The Magi were wise men, and they did. Never mind about the cost of the journey, the dangers, etc. They took all that on board because they knew it was important for them personally to be there with this new king. And they came not as a scientific experiment, but they came to worship him. The other gift which they brought was their worship. You know, the Westminster Confession asks the question about what is the purpose or the point of human beings. It does it in this way, it says it like this: what is the chief end of man? And it answers its own question by going on to say the chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. The Magi were wise men. They knew that this was important, to worship him. Centuries later, St. Augustine put it a slightly different way, and he talked about there being, in all human beings, a God-shaped hole in people. And I think that's just a wonderful insight, because it explains an awful lot about human nature, both then and now. But people will try and fill this hole with all sorts of things. With work, careers, with money, family, friends, pastimes, drugs, sex, whatever it might be. But that hole is never properly filled, because it's a God-shaped hole. And it's only filled by God. And it's only when God fills that hole in us that we become actually proper human beings. We're reunited with him. The Magi, being wise men, they understood this. They came bringing their gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh, themselves and their worship. What gifts do we bring to that same king? What do we offer him in our own lives?